Maybe we'll let you ask a question or two tonight. Wasn't exactly going to do that, and yet I'd felt like doing it. So maybe we'll let you do that. I don't, as I said, on the theophany part, Bible scholars suppose that in the days of Abraham that the Lord appeared as a theophany. When we speak of a ghostly sort of a form, and the reference is a theophany, it's actually coming in a personification as to eyesight. I don't know whether you remember it or not, but Jesus, on one occasion, he said, Abraham saw my day. He rejoiced to see my day and was glad. Now, if I ask the question, at what time did Abraham see the Lord? I searched for it in my mind when I read that, and I thought, well, when did he ever see the Lord? And then the Lord reminded me that he appeared to him under the oak of Mamre. Some of you didn't get to see the oak of Mamre on this last trip, but Betty and I have been there. And at the oak of Mamre, he saw the Lord appear to him. He came to him and made him a promise of a son. And it was there that he talked with him. Now, it is said that that would have been a theophany as to the appearing there. Whereas I've never heard anybody refer to it as we're referring to it as this is the time that he saw the Lord. But it obviously was the time that he saw the Lord when he said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced to see it. That is to say, they said, well, you're not yet 50 years old. And you say that you've seen Abraham. Abraham saw you. They couldn't get a hold of that. But it was true. It happened. He wasn't exaggerating. It was exactly the right thing. It was just exactly like he said it. As to the word flesh, I think that's pretty much self-explanatory in that it is obvious that the Lord appeared as a human being. Now, maybe I'll comment on that just a little bit, since we've got it up here before us. Maybe we'll read just a little bit and comment on it. If you want to turn with me over to St. John, we'll just see what is said right here. Okay, in chapter 1 of the book of St. John, if you'd like to read with me, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, grace and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, it goes on to say, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ, he said. Now, you know, we talked to you about Elijah coming first. We might comment on this before we get into our thought here. Elijah coming first, and I said, don't forget that even though Jesus said this of John, and they said that they realized when he spoke of Elijah that he had reference to John. The Bible gives that very clearly. But still, Elijah was one and John the Baptist was another. It is evident in the scripture right here, and they ask him, what then art thou if you're not the Christ? What then art thou, Elijah? And he said, I am not. So you can see that he was not Elijah. He was John the Baptist. But yet, when Jesus spoke, Jesus said, he hath come already, when they ask about Elijah the forerunner. He hath come already, and you've done whatever you wanted to him. But he hath come already, and the Bible said, and they perceive that he spoke of John the Baptist. So it is obvious that he came forth in the spirit of Elijah. And that is why I spoke the other day about the spirit of Elijah or the spirit of Moses, the spirit of Christ being put upon the people. Now, I'm not going to get into that unless we comment as we go along. But what I'm going to try to explain is what the question was here. See, he said here, the Word was made flesh. Now, let me just say one or two things on this verse or two before we get into that. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. That sounds a little bit confusing unless you can understand what he's saying. The Word was in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I pointed this out to you a lot of times. Paul said that you might be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width, and the length. Now, the light shining in darkness. What is the darkness? The darkness is human reasoning, your intellectual reasoning. Gross darkness in the end times shall cover the people. The intellectual reasoning is darkness. And the Bible said the light, what is the light? The life of God, the understanding of God. What is the life of God or this life? The Bible said, and his words are spirit, and they are life. In the beginning was God, the Word, Spirit of life that was made flesh. So it says here that this light shined in darkness, but the darkness couldn't comprehend it. For the Bible said, the wicked shall not see when good cometh. Satan, the prince of this world, even the prince of darkness, had blinded the eyes of the human family that's in the earth. He blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they cannot comprehend the light. They cannot spiritually see. Having natural eyes, they cannot see because they have no spiritual eyes. Having natural ears, they cannot hear because they have no natural ears. So it says here that this light shined in the darkness. It came. It's poured out upon all human beings. It's in our time. For in the evening time, though gross darkness cover the people, yet it shall come to pass that light shall spring up. For the Bible speaks of the day star that springs forth from on high. And this light springing forth, coming up in the midst of the people, for the light has shined out of darkness. And this light coming forth has shined in the midst of the people. For the Bible said unto them, great light has sprung up in the midst of the people. But the Bible said when it came forth, the darkness couldn't comprehend it. The intellectual powers of darkness, Satan, Lucifer, mankind, his mind being interwoven with the darkness that is mankind, they crucified the Prince of Light and the Prince of Life. So then they couldn't comprehend it. Again, today, when I preach the gospel, or any minister preaches the gospel, there's hundreds and millions of people that can't comprehend it. They hear it, but they can't comprehend it. They don't understand. They can't get into the transformating power of this light. Now, to them, they hear it. To them, they understand. To them, they're not ignorant. To them, they know just as much as you know. And they'll withstand you, and they'll have a dispute with you. And so, I know the Bible just like you know the Bible. I read the Bible. I understand this. See, but they're in darkness, and they don't understand. Whereas you do understand. You're not children of darkness, that is, of intellectual reasoning. But you are children of light. The day cometh not upon you unaware, for you know when it's near at hand, because you discern the signs of the time. So then it is a thing of comprehending, not a thing of hearing the preacher, not a thing of coming to church. If it's a thing of hearing the preacher and coming to church, then there's millions of people and billions of people that will be able to come right on into the kingdom of God, because they go to church. They go to church. People all over the world have some kind of religious society. No matter what it is, it's some kind of religion. And it is their church or their way of worship. See, and they would go right in. But it isn't a matter of going to church. It isn't a matter of coming together in a group. It isn't a matter of hearing the preacher or what kind of minister whatsoever he might be. It's a matter of understanding to come to the light. To be able to comprehend the light. I cannot get into heaven merely by hearing a preacher and saying, I believe. Well, I hear the preacher. You hear the preacher. We say, well, sure we believe, Brother Pike. We believe. Well, we believe there's a God. We believe it's the church. We believe we ought to be in church. We believe that we ought to be with the church people. We believe. We believe. But the Bible said if you do that, the devils believe and they tremble. They believe too. Coming to church, they go to church regular. See, the Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves, Satan came also. When it speaks of Cain and Abel came to offer his sacrifice, so came Cain. All of them came together. They're all just as religious as they can be. So see, that doesn't have anything to do with it. It's whether or not you can comprehend the light. If you can comprehend the light, then you are a child of God. If you can't comprehend the light, you're not a child of God. I say to my wife sometimes, I say, Betty, do you understand? She says, oh, yes. I said, are you sure, Betty, that you understand? See, if Betty can comprehend the light, then she is a daughter of the Lord. If she cannot comprehend the light, it doesn't matter if she's married to me. Wouldn't matter the other way around as a husband being married to her if I couldn't comprehend the light. It wouldn't be of a bit of benefit to me. See, you've got to be able to comprehend the light. If you can't comprehend the light, then you are not a child of light. All right, so it says here, this word was made flesh. He came unto his own, and they didn't receive him. The true light lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. The word, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world didn't know him. He was the light, and John bare witness of the light. And the light is a knowledge. The light is an understanding. The light is a supernatural awakening to another dimension, another world. It's a revelating power. The church that is not in the revelating power has got problems. There's no such thing as them going in the translation or them making the translation. How can they make the translation? They've got to hear, and then they've got to understand, and then they've got to believe. Like the man said to the eunuch, said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, I can't understand. How can I understand? I don't have anybody to explain it to me. So it says here, the word was made flesh. God's ultimatum as to his desire is one goal, and that is to make the word of God flesh within the body of Brother Pike. To make the Word of God flesh within the body of Brother Taylor. And to make the Word of God flesh within the body of the church. It is God's ultimate desire to do that. And he says here, the Word was made flesh. Now listen to this. It says, no man has seen God at any time. Why is it that no man has seen him? Because he is a spirit. It says here, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. Now, I said something to Sister Betty today about this. I said, Betty, there's one thing that a lot of people have a problem with, and that's understanding what Father and Son is. What is Father and Son? I would have a problem just explaining Father and Son to you as a natural father, having a natural son. See, but the thing is, when we say Father and Son, why are they so interwoven? Why are they so close together? Why does Jesus always in his expositions and in his preaching and whatever, he says, my Father and I are one. Why did he do that? How can he make such a statement as to say, I'm in the bosom of the Father and I have declared the Father? How could he be in the bosom of the Father? How could he do that? Today, as I said to some of the fellows, the reason that Jesus could say that is because in the beginning, Jesus, the Christ, was God. He was the thoughts that was within the bosom of the Spirit. There was the Spirit, the Heavenly Father, and then the thoughts of the Heavenly Father, which is within your bosom, your thoughts, as a man thinketh within his heart. He was the thoughts within the bosom of the Father because he was God. And so then he was in the bosom of the Father, and it was the utterance of the Father, and that through a human form, that God, the Heavenly Father, made himself a human form. It was through that human form that he expressed himself. So the Bible said that Jesus Christ is the express image of God. And it tells us that Jesus hath declared the Father. You can't see the Father. No man has seen the Father at any time, because the Heavenly Father is a spirit. So you can't see him. But the bosom of God held the thoughts that would come forth from his very being and express him, and express his attributes and his characteristics. So from out of the bosom of the Spirit, out of the midst of the Spirit, came forth the thoughts of God, his own thoughts uttered forth, just like my thoughts. When I speak to you, that is my thoughts. I am speaking to you, my thoughts come forth, my bosom, my thoughts are in my bosom. I utter these thoughts through word expression and vocal, oral or vocal expression. And I am then a spiritual being on the inside, made manifest to the listening ears, as I said this morning, by the vibrations of the recording of your human instrumentality, which is your nerve system. Your five senses records life, and without the five senses, there is no life. If there is no human sense of hearing, you're cut off from life that much. If there's no human sense of recording as to the conductive nerves from eye to brain, then you're cut off from that much of life. If there is no human feeling as to touch, you're cut off from life. When a man is dead, he cannot hear, he cannot see, he cannot taste, he cannot feel, he cannot smell, because he is cut off from life. The cutting off from life in this natural world is that the body dies. And the body without the spirit is dead, which means life does not consist of the abundance of the things that you own or your educational program. It consists of the spirit. And when your spirit departs from the body, then your body is dead. So then, God is a spirit. We are like a little reservoir. We have water, as we say, in this well. I have life in here. I'm a spiritual being. I've got life on the inside. But my life is a limited life. My life is a temporal life in that I don't know where the source of it is. I have life. I know the source of it is God, but who is God? Where is God? How can I get to God? So I use up my source of life. See, and unless I'm connected with the great reservoir of life, which is God, the eternal spirit, then I soon die. Because mine iniquities have separated between me and my God because of the weakness of the flesh through my forefather Adam. So in Adam I die. In Adam all die. But if I can find the reservoir, if I can get back past the shadow of death, if I can get the clouds out from between me and the sunshine, as I would say, or the earth and the sunshine, if the clouds can be dispelled, then I can get back to the reservoir. I can find out where the abundance of light is, or I can find out where the abundance of water is. There's the great ocean that's filled up. There's the little rivers that run off from it. There's the little tributaries that run through the earth. But all of them that are tributaries are sources that are dependent upon the great reservoir of the ocean or of that great sea. So then I am a dependency upon God. See, I am a spiritual being. I on the inside, I'm a spiritual being. I'm alive. But if I don't make some connection with the great reservoir, if I don't find out where the source is, someday I'll use it up. And I won't be able to refurbish. So then, what must I do? I must have somebody to come and tell me the error of my ways. I must have somebody to come and tell me what the problem is, what the trouble is. And I must have somebody to detail things to explain to me what I must do to recover from this condition that I'm in. Or that I, how that I can get back to God and find my way back to that great reservoir of life. So Jesus comes saying, I'm the Prince of Life. I come that you might have life and that more abundant. And he said, I have given you all things that pertain unto life. And I say, how did you give me all things that pertain unto life? Where is all of this? And he says, in Calvary. In Calvary, all you've got to do is believe. Write the check. It's all in the bank. So at Calvary, I've given you all things that pertain unto life. So when I think about this, I know that great reservoir is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Now, I say the bosom of the Father. He's the great light. I can't find him. I can't see him. I don't know where he's at. No man has ever seen him. And yet I say, but the Lord, the Bible says that Jesus is in the bosom of that great light. And he dwelleth in that light, and he alone dwelleth in that light, under which no man can approach him, no man has seen or can see. And then I suddenly realize that through the transformating expressions and power of that utterance from the thoughts from within the bosom, through the word of Jesus, comes that power to translate my spirit into the great reservoir of life. And that I have my being in him. That if I call upon him, it's not me living, but it's Christ living within me. And that part of me that has been rebellious and contrary, God has put away from him by Calvary. And today it's not me living as the natural man, but it is the angelic side of me, the spiritual man, which is the Son of God, that's been born again and is predestined for another image, even the body and bone of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then I am awake from the sleep, I'm awake from the dead, and now it's not me but Jesus. I am now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you look to me like you're still bone of Brother Pike's bone and flesh of Brother Pike's flesh. That is of your Father. I am in your sight. I say that. I've said that a lot of times. I am in your sight. But the only reason I am is because you are blind and cannot see heavenly orders. And because you observe lying vanities. All you ever see is lying vanities, see? You see lying vanities because you know me after the flesh. Your understanding, you comprehend not the light, but the natural things of life, so you see me as a natural person. But then as it was with Jesus, didn't they see him as a natural person? Didn't they say, I know your dad, he's a carpenter. I know your mother. See, who do you think you are? But Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Well, I'll say, well, you know anybody with good common sense knows you're a man. I come up with you as a boy, I know who you are. But see, it wasn't like that at all. Why? Because there was something else that was there that was tabernacling in this little body. Who do men say that I am? Now, beloved, are we the sons of God? I say, who are you, Brother Taylor? Oh, Brother Taylor says, you guess. I say, I guess that you're a son of God. That's what you are. See, and somebody said, him? I say, yeah. He's a son of God. See, now, beloved, are you the sons of God? You're already the sons of God. It doth not yet appear in this world of lying vanities of this that you see. It doth not yet appear what ye shall be like. But when he appears, we're going to be like him. Because we're going to be changed to where the world can see us. And so then if you observe lying vanities, you forsake your own mercy. If I observe the things of my eyesight, of the things of my human senses, then am I a creature in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world. But if I forsake those things and I live by faith,
And I have faith in the Word of God that no matter what I feel, no matter what I hear, no matter what I see, I still believe what God said about it. Then am I a creature of another world, and I'm not circumstantially bound by an environment of bondage as to the beggarly elements of this life.
So we say, in the bosom of the Father, what did He do? God is a great light. God is a spirit. How then can we come to know God? Comprehend God. Comprehend God. God is the eternal spirit. No man has ever seen God at any time. No man is ever going to see God. Never. Only the pure in heart shall see God. I can see God through eyes of understanding because God is a spirit. You're never going to see angels. As it was said here as to a theophanies, he'd come, one would appear in a theophanies, you would see something like that. But the angel himself, you'll never see him because he is a spiritual being. You cannot see him. You don't have any eyes to see. You don't have any ears to hear those kind of words. But if I become a son of God, if I move into the spiritual world, then it's like a bird that's relative to a bird, and an elephant that's relative to an elephant, and a human being that's relative to a human being. I am a son of God that's relative to a son of God. I am relative to the angels because in heaven we're all as the angels, and I am though of those that dwell in heaven. So being in heaven, I can see angels. Through the eyes of my understanding, I can see angels. Like when I saw that angelic being come and put that ring on my finger. See, you move into that realm, you can see those things. So from the bosom of the Father comes the wonderful word of discernment. From the bosom of the Father comes the declaration of God. From the bosom of the Father comes His own expression, to express Him. As it is said, when the Spirit of Christ, even the Spirit of truth, even the Holy Ghost, when He comes, He'll come into you. And the Bible said He will testify of Christ. Jesus said, when my Spirit comes back, He'll come into you, but He'll testify of me. Because He is the Spirit of me. Your Spirit would testify of you if it came into me because it is the Spirit of you. If I took on the spirit of Brother Vince, then everywhere I went, somebody said, my, he talks just like Brother Vince. He acts just like Brother Vince. He don't look like Brother Vince, but he acts like Brother Vince. He talks like Brother Vince. If Brother Taylor's spirit came into me, it would be the same way. They'd say, he don't look like Brother Taylor, but he talks like Brother Taylor. See, because it is the Spirit. It is the Spirit. It is the nature. The same way with Elijah. Look at John. He had the spirit of Elijah. He went into the wilderness. He stayed in the wilderness. Somebody would say, well, it's like Brother Branham. Brother Branham had the spirit of Elijah. Well, I can't say he didn't, can't say he did. That's between him and God and whoever believed it or whatever was said. Somebody would say, but Brother Pine, he went into the woods just like John did. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Nor did he go into the woods like Elijah. John went into the woods as a boy, and he spent his entire life in the wilderness. And finally come forth at one time to show himself. So it was with Elijah. Elijah stayed out there. See, so there's a world of difference in what I'm saying. The spirit of something that God has given, it's obvious that it was upon John. Because John did exactly the way that Elijah did. He went into the woods and he stayed in the wilderness. He didn't want to be around anybody. He was peculiar to that extent. That was exactly the same way that Elijah did. All right, so then we see it is the spirit that beareth witness. It is the spiritual being. Somebody said, well, I don't agree with you, Brother Pike. I believe that Brother Brown was Elijah. So what? Yeah, that's your business. I have no dispute with you. That's your business.
I know that Christ is coming to my heart. I know it by one means. You say, what kind of means, Brother Pike? There is only one means that I can know it by. What kind of means is that? That means is if I act exactly like Christ, if I walk like Christ, if I talk like Christ, if I act like Christ in every way, I walk with Him, I talk with Him, I act like Him, I'm about the Father's business, I want to do these things the way God did them, then that is the Spirit of Christ. Because Brother Pike's spirit wasn't like that. Brother Pike's spirit never walked like that. Brother Pike's spirit could never be like that. That is Christ's spirit. The same yesterday, today, and forever. My spirit was altogether different. My way of life was altogether different. My desires were altogether different. But when my Heavenly Father came into my heart and the Spirit of Christ came into my heart, it made a new creature out of me. Now, if you are of Christ, you'll be the same way. and our spirits will agree, and we'll walk together. Because as to whatever measure you submit yourself to God, so is Christ in your life. Christ is in your life only to the measure that you submit yourself to, whether it's man or whether it's woman. There ain't no need of being worldly and doing the things of the world and acting real worldly and then saying, Christ is in my heart. I love him with all of my heart. I'm a real Christian, because that don't spell nothing. But it's when you walk like him and you talk like him and you act like him and you go where Christ wants you to go and you do the things that Christ wants you to do, then are you like Christ. But as long as you do the things that man wants to do, you think like a man, you think like a woman, you go like a woman, you do the things of a woman, you do the things of a man, you go about in your life as a man and a woman, then are ye not of Christ? Then do you not have the Spirit of Christ? Because if you have the Spirit of Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, then you do exactly the way that Christ commanded you to do. All right, so we can see what we're saying here. The Word made flesh. What is it, the Word made flesh, the Spirit made flesh? The Spirit of Christ. It becomes mine, and I become him, and him and in me, and I in him. And Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my word abide in you, ask what you will, it be done unto you. See, the more I become Christ, the more virtuous I am, the more holy I am, the more powerful I am, the more God speaks through me and to me and directs my life. So then it is God within me, Christ within me, the hope of that glory, because it is through Christ's Spirit that I enter into that glory or comprehend the life. From glory to glory, I move from glory to glory. How do I do that? I comprehend. I comprehend today what has been said. If Brother Taylor's preaching and the revelation of Christ is moving through Brother Taylor, and I sit there and I listen and I comprehend what he said, I've changed. I've changed my status of living. I've transformated in mind. The Bible said, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. I've transformated in mind, and I've moved from one stage of glory to another. I'm moving from one stage of glory to another. I'm moving on into the full mind, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. So, I am then transformating from glory to glory, from thought to thought. And soon I will have eradicated my mind, and I'll have only the mind of Christ. The same as if I took a Greek Bible, and I started through this Bible, and from the first I will translate a little. Tomorrow I will translate a little more. Till next day I'll translate a little more. After a while I'll look and I'll say, hey, here's the Bible in, you know, in Greek, or if I'm translating from Greek to something else, I'll say, here it is, like it is. So, my mind is transformating. I spent years with God, years with Christ, just transformating and going into the glories of God and going into the knowledge of God and going to the understanding of God, because I am moving from level to level. I'm going on into another world. You know, I could take all night and preach on the three heavens as the somebody that's going to occupy the natural, as I told my wife today. I said, there is a natural part, Betty, that has to have natural care. And the only way that you can deal with it is in the natural way of life. As it would be in a geographic manner, a geologist sort of a way, you've got to deal with it. Because it is natural. It is a composition of natural things. There ain't no need of trying to make it spiritual. You go out here and you do some kind of weird thing over the field and say, let there be, and so there was, and here it comes. And you don't get nothing when harvest time comes. See, you can call yourself spiritual or whatever you want to. But if you'll get out there and say, here's a plow, and I'll plow the ground, and I'll pulverize it, and I'll put some kind of something in here to fertilize, to make it for a fertile ground, and then I'll put a seed in it, and then I'll work and keep the brides away, then you can go back and expect a harvest. Why? Because it is a natural thing. God made it that way. And it's going to produce according to its way of life. That's the only way that it's going to produce, according to its way of life. It's the same way with human physics, or human anatomy, or the world of chemistry. As to my chemical part of me, as to the blood, or the chemistry of the blood, there ain't no need of trying to be real weird and spiritual-like and say, glory to God, I'm alive forevermore. Glory to God, I'm healed. Glory to God. You know, you're going to die just as quick. And you're going to die. You can have cancer and say, glory to God, I'm healed, and do all kind of weird things. But you're still going to die. The cancer's going to eat you up. You can go out here and say, I'm living by faith. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Somebody give me some food. You ain't going to get nowhere. But when you really get down to realize
to the facts, to the nitty-gritty, as the world says, that the human body, you have to wash it to keep it from being dirty. And you have to brush your teeth to keep them from rotting out and causing decay. And you have to wash your dirty feet to keep them from stinking. Let's give the Lord a hand. When you get down to the fact that you are a human being and get off the clouds up here, you know, where the movie stars has gotten, some of the celebrities have gotten, the different ones, you know, living up here somewhere in a mystic sort of a world where they feel like they're some great something, and their feet get just as dirty and smelly as the man that lives down here if he don't wash them. His breath smells just as bad. And he dies, and they put him in a box, and the worms eat him just like all the rest. You know, where's Elvis Presley today? We're up here on a cloud. He's down there in the dust. Isn't that right? Where are all the great figures of life? Aren't they all the same? The Bible said that all flesh is like the grass or like the flower, just withers away. What is all the self-exaltation that I spoke of this morning? See, we've got to come to realize that the flesh profiteth nothing. Not anything at all. The flesh, as to the birth of Adam, it profiteth nothing. What was the difference between Jesus and between the average human being? Jesus said, I am from above, you're from beneath. You're of the dust, I'm not. You're of this world. I come from heaven, I go back to heaven. The Bible says here that he wasn't begotten of man. It wasn't some embracing of human passions that caused this to come about. He wasn't of the will of man. He wasn't begotten of man and woman. It wasn't something where they related one to another as to multiply. That wasn't what it was. He said, I come from God. God is the one that brought him about. It was God that did that. See, and what we're trying to do is come to a place to where we can relate to the Spirit. Get your mind off of your face. Get your mind off of your own thoughts. Stop thinking your own thoughts. Stop doing your own thing. Get into God. Let your conversation be holy. I've got people here that's been with me more than 10 years, I would say. And those people are more carnal than they've ever been in their life. Been with me perhaps 10 years or more. And they are more carnal than ever before. They have their minds on themselves, on their bodies, on their faces, on their plans, on their future, on money, all these kind of things. And they're in worse shape than they've ever been. Because the Bible said it was better that they have never known the way of life than it is after that they've known these things to turn and go away from it. But it's happened to them as the true proverb that the dog has returned to the lapping of his vomit, and the sow, after that she's been washed, hath gone back to her wallowing in the mire. So then, that mind of yours can become a wallow hole. That mind of yours can become vomit. And you can take this body and just wallow in the vomit and defile the temple, and God will have to destroy it. So then, speaking as I spoke this morning, it is not of the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. It is of the Spirit. The Spirit quickeneth. The Spirit is the thing that's trying to get a hold of you. If I speak words, that's not sufficient. But if I speak words of Spirit, that is life. Because if you hear a vibration of a word that is Spirit, as that is quickened to your heart, it will touch your spirit, and your angel will become interwoven with that spiritual inspiration of life. And that life will show forth through your blood genetics. So then in this great light showed forth in the face of Stephen, it showed forth in the face of Moses, to the extent in the days of Moses that he had to put a veil over his face. See, the great light, comprehending the light. How much of this light have I comprehended? Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, I know that the Bible says that wisdom makes a man's face to shine. That's true, depending on how much wisdom you've got. As to your comprehension, how much of it have I comprehended? How much of this word of Spirit and life have I comprehended? I can comprehend enough that it will do me like Enoch. I can comprehend enough that it will do me like Moses. I can comprehend enough of it that Jesus, that was completely made word flesh, that he walked up on the mountain and appeared in glory. Now I say this again, Jesus from a manger to a cross. Like down here, these pillows, I was telling Sister Betty today that we'll put little cradles on the top of them. Somebody said, well, where is the crown? And somebody else said, from the cradle to the crown. So then, from the cradle to the crown.
See, that is to say, he came in a cradle. He came in a manger. But he came as a human being on the low level of human life that he might walk day by day toward that world of glory. He came down from that world of glory and he said, now, Brother Pike, I'm here. That's what he's saying in my day. He said, Peter, James, and John, I'm here. Do you know who I am? They'll say, oh, yes. We know the Christ. So he said, follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Where are you going, Paul? I'm going into the third heaven. Now just follow me step by step. Here we go. Jesus said, follow me. And here they come. They followed him. And right upon the mountain went Peter, James, and John. Right upon the mountain with these great men of God. And they walked right into the glory of God. See, follow me, Brother Pike. Follow me. Follow in my step. Don't listen to your own thoughts. Don't listen to anybody else. Do what I tell you. Follow me. Faith will translate you. So then he walked day by day until the course was finished. And then he said, he could have turned and said this to them if he would have. He could have said, now I've finished my course. I've gotten my diploma. I've come into my diplomacy. I walked from the cradle all the way into my diplomacy of glory. Now, all you've got to do is not die. Just walk where I walk and walk right on into heaven like Enoch did. Now, I have to go back. I have to pay the price. I have to die so that you won't have to die. Behold, I show you a mystery, Paul said. We'll not all have to die. Now, just keep on walking from glory to glory, transformating from glory to glory. Keep on going now like Enoch did. Keep on. And after a while, more wisdom and more wisdom, and the light will break forth more in your genetics and more, and it'll just break right out, and away you'll go. See, you'll transformate into the great light. Like I say sometimes when they're videoing, just keep turning the light up, turning the light up. And after a while, the image will completely dissipate. So, we walk right into the great light. How much of this light have you got? How much of this light have I got? What is the dimensional depths of it? Speaking of the word flesh now. That is the Word being made flesh. What is the Word? It's the Spirit of Christ. And it's the Spirit of God. It's the thoughts from His bosom. And it is coming into your bosom. And the thing that it did to him, it'll do to you. The thing that it did to him, it'll do to you. It depends on the dimension. It depends on the strength. It depends on what kind of effort you make and how much of this glory that you have sought. You can go on to a full reward. There is, as I said, the natural. And you're going to have to acknowledge the natural. And if you're going to live in the natural, you're going to have to develop the natural, cultivate the natural. There is the physical as to the human chemistry. You're going to have to take care. You're going to have to take the right kind of vitamins. You're going to have to take the right kind of exercise. You're going to have to work with your body in the physical dimension if you intend to inherit the healthy body of that world. Just like you're going to have to work with the ground if you want a beautiful lawn, if you want a good harvest, you're going to have to work with the ground. Whatever you work with, that's what you're going to have. And that is the life of it, the water life, to the world of vegetation as to the soul. And the physical being carries a blood life, and the blood life of the blood chemistry, it is in the human world of physics, and it is the life of all humanity as to the animal world. And it gives you life, and as long as you work with it and have healthy blood and a good heart, that's the health of the body. And folks, when it comes to the angelic world, it's spirit, and you're going to have to be spiritual, and you're going to have to work with the spirit, and you're going to have to develop the spirit, and you're going to have to move into the spirit, and you're going to have to understand the spirit to be part of the spirit. And the more that you give yourself to the Spirit, and the more you work with the Spirit, the more spiritual you're going to be, and the more powerful you're going to be when it comes to the great, wonderful things of the Spirit. So let's make no mistake, there is a first heaven, and there is a second heaven, and there is a third heaven, and that third heaven has to do with paradise, and it has to do with the Spirit, the angelic world. Some of you are for the first heaven. Some of you are for the second heaven. And some of you are for the third heaven. Someone would say, Brother Pike, it doesn't matter whether it's first heaven, second heaven, or third heaven. As long as I get to heaven, that's all that matters. But you've got to remember something. And that is that the Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away. So it depends on what heaven you're in as to whether or not that heaven is going to pass away. If you're in that heaven, then you're going to pass away, because that heaven is going to pass away. So it depends on the heavens that you are in. And Paul spoke of the third heaven. So then, being in the third heaven, he saw these great, wonderful things that was not permissible for him to speak. There are people that are in the first phase of God's operation. And I don't care how much you preach to them, how much you talk to them, whether it is a month, whether it is a year, whether it is 10 years, they're not going to listen. They're not going to solve. They're not going to be interested. They're not going to transformate, because they don't even know what you're saying. They have no interest in that. You can take them to the cafe and set pie before them and milk before them, and they just gobble it down. But set them down to God's table, and they look all around at their wife and their children and their neighbors, and they don't look on us, and they don't pay any attention to us, even though God himself is speaking. They don't pay any attention to it. That doesn't get their attention, because they don't have any eyes to see. And they don't know what you're speaking about. They don't have any ears to hear. They don't know. All they can think about is that dollar and the thing they want to do and their face and their body and their physique and whatever, you know. That's all that interests them. And they spend their lives with those kind of things. I know of men that are businessmen that give their entire lives to that kind of thing. I know of men that give their entire lives to the world of human physics, to have muscles bulging and this kind of thing. Whatever you give your life to, that's what you belong to. That's the world you belong to. That's the kind of mind you've got. That's why you do it, is because that is your mind. That is your world. That is your spirit. That is your angelic being. That's why that I tell you over and over. You that are born for the other world, you that are angelic beings, you that belong to the eternal world, follow me as I follow Christ, Paul says. Let me tell you something. Those that are in the first heaven, they inherit the first heaven. And they that are in the second heaven, they inherit the second heaven. But they that are in the third heaven inherit all things. All things. They have the natural, they have the physical, and they have the spiritual, because they have put everything in order and everything in line in its proper perspective, and they own everything. Everything belongs to them. They have the body of perfect health and perfect human physics. They don't have to lift weights and do whatever. They are going to be perfect in every way. Their eyes and their ears and their hair, their whole human physique will be so beautiful that the radiance of it will outshine the noonday sun. And their earth is going to be so blessed that not one briar will show itself. Not one animal will fight another, and nothing shall hurt in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. They'll be so beautiful. Everything in the earth will be so beautiful. The garden will be restored. And then the angelic world of the great, wonderful glory that inspires and brings this radiance will be there, and you'll be in the supremacy of that as one with God. See, and you will own all things, for all things are yours. And you don't have to go through the garbage can to get a biscuit, as we say. So then we say, what is this? I could say a lot of things. I talked to my wife, I guess, probably several hours today while we were riding around just before my Susie came. In doing this, I explained a lot of things to Betty. I go into a lot of minute things, into the details, the fine line of things, to break it down. Here I don't have a chance to do that to you. I just preach a sermon and sometimes have to kind of get a little boisterous just to keep your attention. But Betty, she just relaxed driving along or whatever we're doing, and she absorbs these things in the Spirit gently like a dove, no interruption, and the Spirit just continually ministers. And it's so clear, and it's so easy to receive and so exciting. See, I wish it could be that way in the church, but evidently it can't, because down through the years I've tried to make it like that, and it's just the frame of mind that the people are in and the way that they present themselves to God. But nevertheless, we do say enough to let you know the reality of what we're saying and the importance of what we're trying to do. I trust that this will stay with you, and many other things that we'd like to say, but I hope by these few words that you can understand what is meant by the Son being in the bosom of the Father, and why that he was made flesh as God, and why all things were made by him and for him, or through him, in that all of the acts of God was through his thoughts as to an expression of words as to let there be, and it was. Now, I'm going to say this in trying to close. I explained some things to Sister Betty today. This is some of the things that I explained. One of the things was this. If in the beginning, it was God. God was an eternal spirit, and God said, let there be, and there was. Then that means that whatever the Holy Spirit of God expressed as to let there be, then that was part of Him. That was part of Him. That was the utterance from His bosom. That was part of Him. He said, let there be, and there was, because that was Him expressing Himself in the form of reproduction as to bring about His own image as to membership of His body. And inasmuch as He did that, then that means that when the preacher comes, wherever there is a respond to this voice, then that means that that is the image of God and that is the eternal ones that was by foreknowledge predestinated as the utterance of God from His bosom, that they are the bone of bone and flesh of flesh of the Son of God as to that which was in the bosom of the Father. Because His utterance from His bosom was the expression of that which was within His bosom and conformed to His desire that He might delight in that because it was His only begotten. As to what He expressed, and so it was. If the winter wind blows as from the north, so is the winter wind. And whatever damage it does as to the coal, as to the killing out, as to causing death of the vegetation of the earth, so it is, because it is the winter wind. And that is what the winter wind is of and for. And that's what it does. And all that receives of that is of the winter wind, of the north wind. But if the south wind blows, and it is a caressing thing as to a summertime breeze, and then it comes down upon the vegetation, and then it springs forth into life, and the radiance of the little flowers and the rose and all the beauties of the birds singing, whatever. So it is, because that is of the summertime. That is of the south wind. And that is the production of the south wind. And so it is. And one is known as to diverse to the other. So it is with Satan. One is as unto death, though it doesn't appear death. And one is as unto life, though at first it doesn't appear life. So then as to whatever Satan is, his is as to whatever you are. If you are as of him, as to his desire, as to the thoughts of his bosom, then you will answer to that. And you'll love the world and the things of the world because you'll be like him. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. His will you will do, because on the inside that is his will. See, and so you are. As to the rich, so is the rich. As to the poor, so is the poor. As the poverty, if you don't have money, that's what you are. See, if I have Christ on the inside of me, I may work out here in the cold, I may work out here in the rain, no matter what I do. If I stop at any time, though I'm tired, though I'm weary, though I've been there, though I've got my mind on the natural end that I've got to build this and do this and make a living and whatever, yet if you stop and talk with me, all of a sudden out of my bosom will come forth the gracious words of God, and my conversation will be in heaven because my interbeing is in heaven, and all I talk about will be heavenly. I can't help that because that's my nature. That's my storehouse of treasure. But if you're hypocritical and you just go to church and you're in the environment of God, you're in the presence of God and all of the things of preaching, it doesn't matter how religious you are. If you're out on the job working, wherever you're at, when you stop to make conversation out of the innermost being, out of the bosom, is going to come forth your thoughts, and your thoughts is going to be eat and drink and ride and laugh and neighbors and relatives and houses and land and security and gossip and backbiting, whatever there is. As to your nature, because that's what you are on the inside. Though you be so religious, it doesn't matter. As a result of that, the ultimatum of that is fear and complex of life, a complex situation, sickness and sorrow. Out of the other comes joy and peace and happiness. So, again, in closing, it's like I said to my wife today. I said, Betty, nature plants, nature caresses. Nature develops, nature woos. Then after all of the planting, all of the sunshine of wooing and the raindrops. I said, then nature comes to reap its harvest. And when it begins to pull the little seed on the little seed, then the veil is rent and out comes the tender life that nature has placed there. And the little flower comes up and it opens its petals and the sweet aroma. As to the pollen filling the air, so comes the aroma of the little flower. It begins to come out and begins to float on the breeze, the summertime breeze. The springtime, the birds begin to chirp and begin to sing because the whole atmosphere of it is a sweet, sweet aroma, a sweet smell, as it was in the days of Noah when a sweet smell came up after God had destroyed, and all of a sudden from the new earth there came forth the sweetness. All flesh is as grass, as flowers that appear for a while and then vanish in the way when the hot sun comes up. So then I said that to say this, as we came from God as a spiritual being and was planted in the Garden of Eden, but through the weakness of the flesh, fell into the cold, cold soil of the dirt, as to the cold grave of the envelopment of the tomb. Our life fell into that cold, cold place, separated from God, and has been there all this time. But see, the springtime comes, then the resurrection comes, and all of a sudden the little seed cracks open, and the little twig begins to make its way out. It begins to push out, and everybody begins to see there's life and there's growth. And then they begin to wait and watch to see what kind it's going to be. What is its nature? What is it going to be? It'll be according to its nature. And so it comes out. When it comes out, and there it is. If it comes out as a little briar, it's obvious that its nature was exactly that. And the wooing brought it forth. That is, we're living in the age of the wooing. We're living in the age of grace. We're living in the age of the time when God is forcing the little seed to crack open and give forth its innermost potentials. The potentiality of whatever it possesses, it comes forth. God on the inside of me, if I be but a shell, as the Undertaker says, if I've been sown in weakness, then I'm to be raised in power. And out of this innermost being comes the life emanating from within, coming into my blood genetics and coming into my brain cells and into my body to inspire and bring forth this radiance of light. That light coming from the light bulb, it comes from the filament, it shines. And then as the light is, so is the environment of them that walk in the light. So it comes out. And the first thing, as you know, this little aroma, this sweet smell of Christ, savor of Christ, it comes up. All of a sudden, we're back to the originality. We're back in God. We came from God as His attributes, and now we're back with God. The sweet aroma that came from the flowers, it's in the summertime breeze. It's where it was to start with. As it was said that man, he comes to God, but he doesn't understand God. Because God is like the wind. You can't tell where He comes from. You can't tell where He goes. Because He is a spirit. So is all of them that are born to the Spirit. And we are a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. So then the aroma comes out. The great Holy Spirit brings out the beauty of the innermost being. And it fills the summertime breeze. And then we're one with it. As the little fragrance, there's no more boundaries. There's no more limitations. We are just from everlasting to everlasting. Everlasting to everlasting. We're one. You know, to us, life consists of conformity. And we could go into a lot of things I talked to Betty about today. But anyway, life consists of a conformity. Life to us consists of things that we see and those things that strikes our nerve system as to being worthwhile as to our sense of evaluation. See, though, to us, everything that's important is the way we think of it. But when you really stop to consider it, from the dust we are to the dust we shall return, everything is just something that come from God. And as God has brought it forth, then we see it in its form, in its image, as it pleases Him. And then He is known to us as being the all and the great of greats. He is everything. He is the ultimatum of life. He is everything because even though He is a spirit, yet in His world, that is what is great. In His world, that is what is worthwhile. In His world, that is the thing, as we say. But our little finite world is our wild imagination and what we have as a definition of life and those things that we comprehend as to being a sense of value. So then we can see that our evaluation is a perversion. and that of lying vanities. And when it all passes away, then that which is life and worthwhile is still there. So let's stand together. I thought we'd just share those few thoughts with you that you might think on it. We went a whole lot farther down the trail in talking today, but we're limited here as to how long we have to speak. Not in the sense of people putting a limitation on our sermons, but in the sense as to what the human mind will listen to or receive. And of course, that depends on the hunger and the thirst of the individual. So away with the word, and away with Sunday, and away with the service, and back to Monday, and back to our gullible desires and our businesses and making money. Not laboring to have that we might give, but back to the long hours of 5 hours and 6 hours and 8 hours and 10 hours to play with the body or to play with the family or to talk or to gossip or to ride or to throw away our time or to make money or to beat and bang on whatever we're doing so that we can have an income. Back to the many hours of foolishness and lying vanities. But away with that long, wearisome 45-minute sermon that we have to get from God week by week or whatever it might be. All them 2 hours of service. Perverted world, perverted minds, poor, deluded people. But them that love God may be on their knees all night. Them that love God may slip right out and spend all day with God. Them that love God, while you wonder and talk and look at your face and lust after one another, they are moving on into the great spiritual realms to become the mighty leaders. Them that overcome to eat of the hidden manna, as the Bible said, and I shall give them the rod of iron, and they shall rule over the nations and break them as one that breaketh pottery. So it's a great day. This is the great hour. This is the great moment. Little flock, this is the great moment. Few there be that find it. I say it again, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many shall religiously and fervently try and fail and not be able to go in. So I trust that you have eyes to see and ears to hear. I trust that you can comprehend the light. Because if you cannot comprehend the light, then that means that you are yet in darkness. You are yet in darkness. And if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. Let's sing a little chorus together. I come here and preach to you these words are worth more than gold, worth more than silver. They're worth more than all of the world put together. These things, my words are spirit and they are life. For Jesus said, it shall not be you that speak, but your heavenly Father that shall speak from within you, and all of the world shall be taught of him. Someday, these words, you will search for them, but you will not be able to find them. Someday, it's like Jesus told them as to the sign of the Son of Man and as of to the Son of God. He said, someday you will desire to see a day of the Son of Man, but you won't see it. And he said, and you will say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Because of your grief and your sorrow and your heartaches and your sicknesses and your woes and all of the disappointments of life, he said, you will say that blessed is anyone that comes to me to talk about Jesus. Anyone that comes in the name of the Lord. You might never have seen that day, but I've seen it. I remember when I was in such a bewilderment of life, a complex of life, back in my younger years. When I'd gotten into such a situation of mine and so depressed, coming into spiritual realms that I didn't understand, that in my soul I was screaming and saying, blessed is he. Blessed is anyone that will say anything about Jesus that will help me. Now I remember, I've related it to you, just at one mission where we were at, a Baptist preacher that was living a half-hearted life, no doubt. Didn't hardly know his right hand from his left, but he came and an act of seeming sincerity and talked about Jesus. And though I knew that he was a Baptist minister and I knew that he didn't hardly know nothing about God, but I grabbed it just like a little hungry pup. I was so glad I listened to every word. I wasn't critical. I didn't try to find fault. I thought, life. If I can just get a hold of a little of this life. You know, Paul said, whether the gospel be preached for contention or otherwise, Nevertheless, the gospel is preached, and herein I rejoice, no matter what their motives are. Sometimes we're critical when we shouldn't be critical. But when you get to war, you're in desperation, you'll say, blessed is he. Blessed is he. If he doesn't bring but a crumb, you'll say, blessed is he. All right, let's sing together.
Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved. The altars are open. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing with me? Oh, there's room at the cross and although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it with me now. Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. Can I long for Jesus Christ, my friend? Who will come and take me to my home up in the sky?
up there where angels shout and sing. For I'm longing for Jesus to come back. Can I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Gone and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, all the death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore.
You love Jesus.
I can't keep up with the style, but I know I'm God's own child. Little person in this world here I may be, but I'm God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first of all, and he will answer when I call. For I know I am a child, the son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first of all, and he's gonna answer when I call. For I know we are the children God set free. I can't keep up with the style, but I know I'm God's own child. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. One more time. We claim Jesus first of all, and he will answer when we call. For I know that we're the children God set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Jesus gave her the water that was not from the well. Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. She went away a-singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that was not from the well. For Jesus gave her the water that wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. And she went away singing, but she came back bringing others to the water. That wasn't from man's will, for Jesus gave her the water. That wasn't from man's will. Jesus gave her that water, and she went forth to tell. She went away a-singing, and she came back bringing others to the water. For Jesus gave her that water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. She went away a-singing, and she came back bringing others to the water. Can you sing one more time with me? For Jesus gave us the water that wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave us the water, and we went forth to tell. We went away a-singing, and we came back bringing others to this water that wasn't. Can you sing it one more time with me? Jesus gave us that water that wasn't from man. Jesus gave us that water, and we went forth to tell. We went away singing, and we came back bringing others to the water that wasn't. Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? Somebody say hallelujah. You love the Lord? Say praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God. God gave us the water that comes from heaven. And this water, Jesus said, I give unto you that you don't have to come here and drink. Let's sing this little chorus together. Can we sing one more chorus or two, and then we'll let you go? I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for me. He's my everything. So I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond rings. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. Can you sing it with me? So I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's everything. One more time. Well, we don't want no gold or silver, and we don't want no diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's everything. You love the Lord? Let's give him another hand. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. or be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bride. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready now for Jesus to come. Oh, we're ready now for Jesus to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready. Sing it one more time with me, can you? Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white. And can you sing it again with me? Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Are you really ready for the bridegroom to come? You know, it's a wonderful thought to know that you're ready for the Lord Jesus to come. I sang a little chorus this morning. I never knew it was quite so touching, but my wife, she sang it. The whole time I was coming back from lunch, she just kept singing it over and over. 10,000 years can't change my heartaches. 10,000 prayers can't right my wrong. It took the blood of my Redeemer at Calvary for my sins to atone. And the little chorus says, let's rejoice and sing his praises. That lovely man of Galilee, he's the one they call the Rock of Ages. All of these things he did for me. God is good, isn't he? When you are a songwriter, songs just come out of your heart. You know, it just comes out of your heart. And when you are a Christian, how can you be anything else but a songwriter? He gives you all kinds of things. Anything you want to do, anything you want to be, you are. Because you know, everything comes from him anyway, and you're one with him. So it's wonderful to be a Christian. It's so wonderful to be a Christian. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? Well, I looked over the Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home was the band of angels coming after me. To carry me home, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. He is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
Let's close our eyes together. Lift up our hands. This is the great, wonderful day. Men long to live forever. Men don't want to die. Women don't want to die. They don't want to die because death wasn't meant for them. And death is a terror to them. Death is a nightmare to them. Death is a horror to them. They don't want to die. They don't want to get sick. They don't want to lose their strength. They want to live, but they don't want to be oppressed. They don't want to be burdened. They don't want the miseries of life, the oppressions of life. They want to live as the sun that shineth within their strength. And folks, believe me when I say this, that is what God wants you to do. That is what God wants you to do. Satan distorts your mind. He's always trying to trample down the mind of humanity. And he's trying to cripple your mind. He would like for you to believe in a distorted way, in the sense of resisting God so that he can have a greater strength in your life. But believe me, it is not God's will for you to be afflicted. It is not God's will for you to be sick. It is not God's will for you to be in poverty. It is not God's will for your life to be filled with fear and frustration. It is not God's will for you to die. It is God's will for you to be strong. He said, even the weak, if you're weak, let the weak say that I'm strong by faith and the power of my might, Jesus, that I'll make him strong. And Satan is the enemy. And those seeds of the enemy, of Satan, the false brothers and sisters among you to trouble you, they were sown by the enemy. From whence come these terrors? The men said as they looked at the fields. He said, I planted good seed, but mine enemy has done this. And so then God sowed seeds of righteousness, as of seed unto life, and life eternal, of blessings and health and the richness of God, of peace and the tranquilities of Christ. But the enemy sowed the tares, and that of bewilderment and fears and frustrations and anxieties and troubling spirits and people that trouble you. And God said, I'll trouble them. But he said, leave them alone. Let them grow together. Don't try to pluck them up, because you can't differentiate in telling one from another. And if you pluck up the tares, their roots have become wrapped around the seeds of some that are righteous. And you'll pluck up the good seed. So don't bother them. Leave them alone and let them grow together. And in the end of the world, and folks, we're in the end of the world, I'll send forth the reapers. That's what the revival is all about. That's what the harvest is all about. John came as to the beginning of the end of the world, and he said, I'm a man sent from God. Or they said, it is a man sent from God. So then, in the end of the world, I'll send forth the reapers. They'll cut down everything, and they'll gather it all, as to the severing or the dividing, and they will take the tares and bind them into bundles and burn them, and then they will gather the wheat into the garners. So then they grow with us, Paul said, in peril of false brethren and in peril of false sisters. Whatever it was in the church, he was in peril of these things. So
That's the way it is at Bethlehem, and that is the way that it is around the world. But God wants you happy. I want you to have life and that more abundant. And he said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, ye that are burdened down, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. Come unto me. I'll give you peace. I'll take away the burden. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And it's his will that you be blessed. It is his will. Don't think any other way. Don't let your mind be distorted with negative thinking and negative thoughts. Don't think any other way. It's his will. It's his good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure for you to be healthy. Don't roll any thoughts around in your mind in any other manner. Don't listen to anybody else that tries to explain it to you and say, well, Brother Pike, man, and it's like this and it wasn't that way at all. You know, it's just exactly the way I tell you. He wants you healthy. He wants you whole. He wants you blessed. He wants you filled up and overflowing with life. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup till it overflows. For he wants you overflowing that others may also enjoy the wonderful glory and blessings of the richness of your life as you show forth joy and your light so shines that men may see that as you rejoice in God and follow the paths of peace. That men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why the Bible said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When the evil days draw not nigh, when you look back and say the time of reaping is here. And I have no pleasure in the seed I've sown. Sow the righteous seeds for the reaping, which is coming to each and every one. Then we can rejoice on that day when we'll hear Jesus say, come ye blessed, a crown ye have won. So, while you're young, don't lay up treasures as unto wrath, but treasures as unto peace and love and joy. Do it while you're young, that you can have a wholesome, godly, wonderful, blessed life with nothing to reap except that which is the blessings of God. He wants you to be happy, folks. That is the truth. And you think otherwise because you've done otherwise. And you've done things that's brought condemnation and sorrow to your heart. You've done things contrary to wholesome living. And you've created fears and anxiety and frustration and all of these oppressions of life because you didn't walk with Christ and you didn't do the things that pleased him. And now condemnation is in your heart. But John said if we do the things that please him, then comes faith. And we ask of him in confidence and we know that he will reward us accordingly, for he heareth us. And whatever we ask of him, he'll give us. So today, if you've not made the commitment, if you've not made the starting God, if you're not going on with God, now's the time. While the preacher Bethlehem preaches to you, whether you see me or hear me, now's the time. Now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. Let me say this to you again, as I've said before. Don't let somebody say, well, it's just not your time. Or maybe tomorrow. Satan is just putting you off to cause a procrastination that he might kill you before your redemption. See, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. The bride says, come. The bridegroom bids you to come. Let whosoever will come. Now is the time. If you've never made the commitment, now is the time. While you're standing here with your hands lifted up and your eyes closed, we'll come to the close of another day, Sunday. Come to the benediction once again, the close of another day. See, have you hardened your heart the more? Have you become gullible as to the desires of life the more? Have you considered your life as to changing it that it might be a conformity unto Christ? What have you done? We've got some people here that just came back from a funeral of a very precious woman that we prayed for here. One of our black sisters that was over in the areas of Missouri, she passed away. It was a fine woman. They've just come back from her funeral. I'm sure that the sadness and sorrow and the depression and all those things that they saw as to the tears of the bereavements, that out of that, that they could wholeheartedly endorse what I'm saying tonight. But see, God wasn't in that. God wasn't in that. Death is the enemy of God. Death is the enemy of God. and all of these sicknesses and sorrows and heartaches and problems. That's the enemy of God. But he said, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Why let those things have preeminence in your life? The Bible said, don't let Satan reign in your life. Don't give place to him, not for a moment. Pray and believe. If you want something, pray and believe. Try to do right. Pray and believe. Ask God. And I guarantee you, he'll give it to you. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. Feed you with the heritage of Jacob. His blessings will make you rich and add no sorrow. But you have to delight yourself in the Lord. For the man that delighteth himself in the laws of the Lord, he does not stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the laws of God. And the Bible said, in them he doth meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the waters, the rivers of waters, living waters that shall bring forth his fruit in his season. And his leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he'll not destroy the fruits of your ground, Jesus said. I'm going to ask Willie to come up and pray. While Willie's coming to pray, consider these things as we close the service tonight. So many times we gather around the altar to give our hearts to God, to renew our covenants, to surrender our way of to the Lord. So many times we call upon the name of the Lord, asking God to help us, to strengthen us, to make us what we ought to be. Don't think too highly of yourself. You know you're not good. Don't ever think of yourself as being good, because you're not good. There's none good but him. Think of him as being good. Don't think of the good life you're living. Think of the good Savior that's in your life. Because when you start thinking otherwise, you just separate yourself from his righteousness and from his goodness and his blessings and the characteristics that could show forth in your life. So then, surrender your heart. I said that as for a benefit of a girl standing here. And it just turned her clear around, because she's found a little problem there. She doesn't need to do that. And there are other people that are here. They don't need to do that. Remember, your righteousness is of God. But do all you can to be godly and holy and pure and righteous, to separate yourself from the world, to come out from among them and be a separate people. To touch not the unclean things, and God said, I'll receive you. And then when you stumble and stagger, don't worry. Don't condemn yourself over that which you allow. Because when you do, then Satan takes advantage of you. Your shield of faith drops. And Satan takes advantage of you, and then you have trouble. So I say to the young lady, better she'll listen at me. She won't do that anymore, and she'll get away from that. Don't be haughty. Don't be arrogant. Don't be self-willed. Don't be overconfident. Don't think of yourself too highly, because it'll only lead you to heartaches. Believe me, Brother Pike is telling you the truth. You may stand here tonight, and you don't have it, but talk to many others that are standing here that would give almost anything if they could just call back just a day or two and say, oh my God, I remember when that preacher said that. I've seen one right after another, and I bring it to my wife's remembrance, and I say, Betty, you see what happened to that woman? You see what happened to that man? You see what happened to that person? I said, Betty, these are the ones that sit with stubbornness and rebellion in my services when I pleaded with them not to do it, with their spirits in rebellion. I said, now look, broken, torn, will never move the bruises. It's there as a reminder to keep them humble for the rest of their life. See, the bridle is for the horse's mouth. The rod is for the fool's back. The Bible said you can't control them any other way. So humble your heart, lest these things come nigh unto you. All right, as Willie comes to pray, may the Lord bless you. Don't forget our services. Don't forget to minister to the saints. Don't forget to help us in these things that we're trying to do. Folks, move out and do something, and your whole world will change.